There's a lot of uncertainties in life. And we are so blessed to be able to say that we have a God who cares for us. And that He's always aware of all those difficulties that we face. And so, this morning we're going to start this new series that we have titled, Unstuck, Overcoming Our Fears and Challenges. I strongly believe we face a lot of fears and challenges in our lives. Whether we agree or not, whether we accept it or not, whether we acknowledge it or not, we do face a lot of uncertainties and fears. So this morning, as we're starting this new series, we're also going to be celebrating after. We're going to celebrate that we're with one another, but we're also going to celebrate Cinco de Mayo. I'm so happy that we are here worshiping together today, and that we had a great start this morning and with coffee in the courtyard. If you don't have coffee, there's something wrong. So we got to have coffee. Then an amazing time of worship. Thank you, worship team. And the worship team today, they mix with the worship team from the church in Mexico that is here. So I want to acknowledge we have young adults, young professional adults that are here today from Mexico. They're visiting us. It's a church that we partner. Pastor Edgar is sitting right here. Edgar, si te puedes parar. Pastor Edgar led the group. And we want to ask everybody, todos los muchachos, pónganse de pie. Los muchachos, pónganse de pie. And this is the group that came from Mexico yesterday. They arrived yesterday. We ate lunch together. And then after eating lunch together, we went out and we give 3,500 invitations. So we make them work for the lunch. They work it out. They burn the calories. And it was amazing. It was great. So we had a great time yesterday. They helped us set up. So everything you're going to see out there, people in our church, we're together partnering with the missions team from Mexico. And we are so glad that they're here. And so then an amazing time of worship this morning. That was great, guys. I praise the Lord for that time of worship. And after worship, we will finish with celebrating Cinco de Mayo. And someone asked me the other day, why do you celebrate Cinco de Mayo? Why do you, you know, they hardly celebrate Cinco de Mayo in Mexico. I don't know if you're aware of that. It's we who celebrate Cinco de Mayo here. And so I have an answer for you this morning, but I had to do some research on that, right? And I do have an answer for you. Then I was asked, why do we celebrate Cinco de Mayo more than they celebrated in Mexico? And if you didn't know that, so now you know that. So let me share with you really quick why Cinco de Mayo is more celebrated in the United States than in Mexico. So in 1962, the Mexican army of 600 volunteer, not even trained, but just volunteer men, defeated the army, the French army of 6,500. So 600 untrained men defeated 6,500 French army men in a battle of a place called Puebla. Puebla is a city south from the capital city in Mexico, from Mexico City. The French wanted to take over. And these 600 men, led by General Ignacio Zaragoza, said, no, we're not going to allow that. We're tired of this. Spain was invading them. Spain was invading them. If I'm not mistaken, it was also England was invading them. And then France wanted to invade too. And so what these men did is they stand against a giant army. People thought, and Napoleon III, who was leading this whole thing, all the way from France, he said, we're going to defeat them. We have no problem. Our army is so strong, it's so big, that we're not going to have any problems with this. So Ignacio Zaragoza led the 600 Mexican men, and they defeated the 6,500 men from the French army. And that's why Cinco de Mayo is celebrated. But you might be wondering, why do we celebrate that more in the United States? So Ignacio Zaragoza was born in 1829. When he was born in 1829, he was born at a place called El Presidio Bay in Texas. This is when Texas was still Mexico. This is 1829. So in 1835, Texas became independent from Mexico. And then in 1845, 10 years later, Texas became part of the United States. But when Ignacio Zaragoza was born, it was Mexico. So he was a general of the Mexican army. So 1862 came, and they defeated this French army. And so Cinco de Mayo happened. The army was tried three times to get through the Mexican army, and they couldn't get through it. So because they couldn't get through it, they finally give up and left. So that's why it's celebrated. But in 4 months after this battle of Puebla, Ignacio Zaragoza died. So 5 years later, in 1867, five guys from El Presidio Bay, Texas, said, hey, we got to celebrate our hero. And so that was the first time Cinco de Mayo was celebrated. And that's why we celebrate Cinco de Mayo more in the United States, because he was, in a sense, he was Mexican-American. He was born when he was Mexico, but he was still a Texan. So he was a Mexican-American. So, but the interesting thing about this story, and I had a map to show you guys. I just didn't realize that map had the names of the cities, but also the names of the cartels. So I'm not going to show it to you. That's why I didn't show it to you. So know that. So interesting. Now you know why we celebrate Cinco de Mayo even more in the United States. Now what does this have to do with Unstuck, overcoming fear and challenges? What does this have to do with this new series? So the story I just told you is not just to give you a historical context in case you ask why do we do this. But to understand that a lot of times we might face a bigger enemy that can make us be afraid, experience a lot of fear. So more than anything, I had the intention to show you how big this enemy was. And no matter how big an enemy is, it can always be defeated if your heart is in the right place. So how many times do we face enemies within ourselves? How many times do we face difficulties? How many times do we face different issues in our lives that we fight against those giants? Just like this giant army, they defeated them even though they were smaller, but they had the heart and their heart was in the right place. Also, for us to see how fear and challenges can be overcome in your life, no matter how big the fear and the challenges are, we can always overcome. Just like the giant army, they were defeated, and it only took 600 volunteers, but their heart was in the right place. So we also face giants in our lives, whether we're willing to accept it or not. As I said it before, we all face challenges in our lives, and those are giants in our lives. And by the way, when we talk about giants, I'm referring about big problems that we face many times, big challenges that we face many times. Some of those have a name, and you might be familiar with some of those names. Some of them are fear. If you face fear, that is a giant you're facing. If you face worry, laziness is a giant. Discouragement is a giant. Depression is a giant. Suicidal thoughts, it's a giant that many people are dealing with nowadays even more than ever. Feeling like a failure is a giant that we face every single time. And financial difficulties, wrong habits, career or marital problems, those are giants. A giant is anything that will distract us from our focus on God. And it can be a situation. It can be a circumstance, pain, or a problem that we are dealing with. It can be something that seems to be bigger than what we can handle and overwhelming. And when you're facing those things that seem bigger than you can handle and they're overwhelming you, those are giants that you're facing in your life. Giant is something that paralyzes you. It's something that gets you stuck sometimes. That's why we call the series unstuck. How do we get unstuck? When a giant paralyzes you. When a giant stops you from doing what God has called you to do. When a giant stops you from leading your family the best way and getting them from point A to point B to be a better family. And you get stuck and you cannot get out of it. That's a giant you are wrestling with. And so there is a story in the Bible that goes along with that. We find this story in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 17 is a story about a giant that came against God's people. Who is that giant? Who is that giant? Goliath. So you guys know the story. We know the story really well. And you know, giants are always going to come against God's people. Giants are always going to come against you, against me. And so the question is not if giants are going to come against us. The question we have to ask is, we're going to ask ourselves two questions. We're going to answer one question today, and the next question we're going to answer in next week. So in case you're like, you know what, I feel like we left this halfway. Yes, we are going to leave it halfway so that way we can finish it next week. Because it's better to do it right than to do it fast. So the first question we're going to deal with, the two questions we're going to deal with is, what do we experience when we are facing giants in our lives? And the second question we're going to talk about next week is we're going to talk about how do we defeat those giants in our lives? So today we're going to answer the first one. What do we experience? What do we go through when we're experiencing those giants against us? So in 1 Samuel chapter 17, we find the story of this giant named Goliath that came against the people of God. His name was Goliath. And in verse 1 through 3, we're not going to read the whole thing, but in verse 1 through 3, the Bible says that the people of God and their king were in one side, and their enemies were on the other side, and there was a valley in between. And they were ready to go against each other, ready to go for battle. But in verse 4, it says that before they went and start fighting with each other, there came a man. It says that the enemies of God's people had a giant named Goliath. And this man was, according to verses 5 through 7, it says that Goliath was about 9 feet 6 tall. And he had a full armor. He was so strong that he had a full armor that weighed 175 pounds approximately. So this guy was huge. He wasn't just tall. He was huge. And this guy came and went ahead of his army and faced the people of God and said, you know, said things that were really mean, and that he was challenging them all the time because his purpose was to make the people of God afraid of him. And that's what giants do many times. What giants do many times, and it's that they input fear in us. They make us afraid. And so we have to understand something here. We have to understand something essential. In our everyday life, we are in one side of the valley. Usually we're on one side of the valley, and our enemy is on the other side. And his strategy is always to put fear in us. When you face a giant, you face a challenge, when you face a problem, usually the way the enemy knows he's going to defeat you is he's going to put fear in you. Now, once you're afraid, many, many things happen when you're afraid that will defeat you if you don't trust in God. So the first question that we're going to answer today is, what do we experience? What do we go through when we are facing a giant in our lives? Number one, we're going to see in this story in 1 Samuel that we experience fear. Fear. We know this guy was huge. So to begin with, just by looking at this guy, 9 foot 6, that's huge. And then on top of that, he was so strong that he can carry an armor of almost 200 pounds, 175 to 200 pounds armor on him. When they tried to put an armor on David, David couldn't even walk. Right? And we're going to talk about that next week. David couldn't even walk. And David said, hey, take this off me. I'm not going to go face this giant with my strength. I'm going to go face this giant with God's strength. And a lot of times what we need to know is that the reason we experience fear when we face a giant is because our lack of trust in God. And we're going to talk about that more next week. But today, I just want you to see that in verse 8, and we have it on the screen and you have it on your outlines also, it says that Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, to the army of Israel, why are you all coming out to fight? You know, it's like, it's worthless, it's pointless that you guys coming out and fight with me. And he called, I am the Philistine champion, but you are only the servants of Saul. So you're nobody. So he was trying to put fear in them. Right? You are just, somebody watched the boxing match yesterday? Canelo against Munguia? I won't tell you if I watch it or not. It's Saturday. I'm supposed to be praying for all of you. I'm not going to say anything because lying is a sin. But one of the things that happens when you watch a boxing match, what do they try to do a couple of days before the boxing match? They try to put fear in one another, right? They try like, you're nobody and I'm going to beat you. And because mentally, you can defeat a person easily. Once you're afraid, a lot of things go wrong. Then you're not strong enough because everything starts right there. And so he kept on shouting at them and telling them, you know, you're nobodies. You're just Saul's servants. Saul was the king at that time. And he goes, choose a man who can come down here and fight with me. And as soon as the Israelites' army saw him, look at what they did. The whole army, they all ran away from him in great fear. So they just saw this guy. This guy is not messing around. Let's get out of here. Right? They were afraid. So they were experiencing fear. And I can assure you that they're not the only ones who experience fear. When you have a problem that is one of those giants in your life, I know we all experience fear. There's no way around that. Especially when we don't know what's going to happen. Especially when we're not sure which way to go. How to find a solution to fix that situation, to work with that problem. We experience fear. And the question, I guess, is why do we experience fear? Why is it that fear takes over us? We fear because the giant, the problem, or the challenge we are facing seems to be bigger than we can handle. It seems to be bigger than we can handle. In this case, the Israelites forgot that God was bigger than the giant that we're facing. And many times we experience fear because we forget that our God is bigger than the problems or the issues that we face in our everyday life. They were not willing to fully trust in God. That's why when Goliath would come and challenge them, they would run away. They would run away in great fear because they were not trusting in God. When we don't trust in God through the challenges of life, we are going to be afraid. We are going to be afraid. And we are going to try to get away. We are going to try not even to deal with the issues. And a lot of times we think that not talking about it is going to fix the problem. Have you ever met people like that? Let's not talk about it, and they just ignore the problem. And they think the problem is going to get fixed by not talking about it. No, the problem is just going to stay there and get bigger and get bigger and get bigger until you can no more. So, the Israelites forgot who God was. If they wanted to defeat their giant, just like we wanted to defeat our giants, we have to choose to trust in God. So what does fear do to people? I'm just going to tell you three simple things, what fear does to people. Number one, fear paralyzes you. Fear paralyzes you. You get stuck in a situation in that situation that you are experiencing, you get stuck in it because of fear. A lot of times you just don't find a way to move. You don't know what to do. You don't know what to think. You see the problem bigger and you just decide to put up with it. You know, this problem is too big. I'm just going to put up with it. And it affects you emotionally. It affects you emotionally. Again, putting up with the problem or ignoring the problem, putting up with the giant and ignoring the giant and not facing the giant, it's not going to fix the problem. You have to deal with it. You have to work with it. You have to work about, you know, how to get this defeated. Also, fear creates an emotional instability. So that you're not able to control your emotions when you're afraid. You know, have you ever seen, has ever anybody react with you in an angry way? You know that a lot of people that react in an angry way, it's not that they're angry per se, it's that they're afraid. And that is a way for them to protect themselves. It's a form of protection. And sometimes people are just like, they're just touchy, right? You just kind of like, you just barely touch them and they jump. They're afraid of something. They're afraid of something. And that's what fear does. It gives you emotional instability so that you're not able to control your emotions. Fear controls you. When you let fear sit in you, it will control you, affecting you emotionally. So fear affects you mentally because it paralyzes you. And fear affects you emotionally because it brings emotional instability. Fear is physical. It's amazing the things. I read so many things that I couldn't put the whole list over here. But your blood, when you're afraid of something, your blood pressure and your heart rate increases. Your fear responds, you know, your brain does something. Your fear does something to your brain and spreads all over your body. And that's why your body hurts a lot of times. You know, when do I know I'm experiencing stress and fear? My joints hurt. When my joints are hurting, I know I'm stressed. I know I'm experiencing something that is not normal. And it all starts with something emotional. But it affects physically. So the giant, in this case Goliath, he knew that by making them afraid, he would have defeated them already mentally, emotionally, and physically they wouldn't be able to do it if they were mentally and emotionally defeated. So he knew that. Imagine what they were saying in verse 25, for example. What they were saying in verse 25, let's go to verse 25 right there in the green. It says, they were talking among themselves and they were talking about, have you seen the giant? I mean, have they seen their God? No, they didn't think about who their God was. They were like, have you seen the giant? The men asked. He comes out each day to defy Israel. So they were mentally and emotionally affected by this. But I want you to also know that he was coming out every single day. And the Bible, we're going to read the verse in a moment. But it says that he came out for 40 days straight, morning and evening. So when you are facing a giant, when you are facing challenges, when you are facing those things that make you afraid, that puts fear in you, they come to you every day until you deal with it. And they'll keep on coming to you until you deal with it. But the reason we're afraid against is because our lack of trust in God. We are called. God wants us to learn to trust in Him. If we don't trust in God every situation and we try to do things in our own, we are in trouble. We're in trouble because most of the time we don't know what to do. We don't know the right answer to the problem, but God does. That's why in verse 24, they kept on running away from Him in great fear. Because fear is the reason why we run away and hide. So now, let me just ask you something simple. Have you ever run away from a problem thinking it's going to get fixed? Have you ever tried to hide from a problem or a situation, a difficult situation, thinking it's going to, once you get out of hiding, it's going to get better? It's just going to be okay? Because sometimes we do that. Sometimes people prefer to hide and run away from their giants instead of facing them. No, God is calling us to face these situations. But to face these situations knowing that He is with us. And you got to trust that God is with you and God is going to walk through those situations with you. And you might be thinking, you know, Pastor, but that's simple. I know the Bible says that. Well, the problem is, do you believe it in your heart and do you practice it in your life? The trusting of God. So when we look at this, when we look at these first verses that we went through, we realize that, fear will paralyze you. Fear will emotionally make you an unstable person, and fear will affect you physically. So the giant will not be silenced. It says in the Bible, verse 9, it says, this was Goliath telling the army of the Lord. He says, bring me a man. If he kills me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves. I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will find me. So he kept on coming and challenging them. Just like we are challenged every day. Every single day, if you're honest with yourself, every single day you are challenged with something. Something sometimes we don't even want to deal with. And in verse 11 it says, when Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified. So in one verse it says that they used to run away in great fear. In this verse it says that they were terrified and deeply shaken. Fear after fear after fear. That was what they were experiencing instead of trusting in God. When you trust in God, you experience peace. When you don't trust in God, is fear is going to take over. And when fear takes over, it's not a good thing. It's not going to be good for you. So in this first question, what do we experience? We experience fear, but we also experience exhaustion. Have you ever been exhausted? Have you ever been exhausted? Like, you get to the point of... last night when we... After the young adults that are here today from Mexico, after we went and did all the flyers, over 3,000 flyers, they went to... I took them to Long Beach so they can walk around there. They walked on the, by the Queen Mary. And then I left because I had to come to work, and they stayed there enjoying it. When they came back, you can see all of their faces. They were tired. Estaban cansados ustedes. And you can see it in their face. They were exhausted. You know, when something happens to you over and over, and when you're exhausted, it's a dangerous moment. When you're exhausted, emotionally exhausted. I mean, this Goliath kept on coming to them every day, saying the same thing, morning and evening, morning and evening. It was like he was wearing them out. They were exhausted. And exhaustion comes from a Latin word. And the Latin word means to be drained out. They were drained. So when you are drained, do you really feel like fighting against those issues or dealing with problems? A lot of times when I'm drained, I don't want to get home and find another problem. I just want to get home and rest. Because you're drained. And so, I also recommend you guys that are married, when you get home, try to have peace with each other. Because sometimes we all get home exhausted. And the last thing we want is another problem at home. We want to enjoy coming home and resting, because exhaustion is not a good thing. We're drained out until we face and defeat the giant. We are going to experience exhaustion. So the giant is not going to leave us alone. The giants you're facing, they're not going to leave you alone. It's not going to be that simple until you deal with it. The giant will keep on challenging you until you deal with it. The giant will keep on challenging you. You know, it's going to challenge your well-being. It's going to challenge your peace. Remember, the giant stood between the two armies, right? So when I think about it, I think about the giant stood between where they were at that moment and where God wanted them to be. So a lot of times you don't get to where God wants you to be because there's a giant in between, and you are allowing that giant to stop you. You get stuck. You need to move forward. You know, and we're going to see this next week. You know, when David decided to go against this giant, he didn't get stuck. He moved forward. He went at him. Have you ever, when you're walking in the street, sometimes, have you ever get a chihuahua running after you? Man, those chihuahuas are dangerous. Man, those little mouths, you know, they don't run away. They go to you. And if you're messing with their owner, their master, whatever, those are dangerous. You know, David was a little guy. He was a young man. And here is this warrior. He even told David, you know, who are you sending against me? You think I'm a dog? He comes with sticks against me? And David says, you know what? Goliath, be quiet. I got 5 stones, one for you, one for each one of your brothers. David had so much trust in God. But it says here the Goliath kept on coming out to them. They were exhausted. So number 3. So fear, exhaustion. And the last thing I want to talk about today is they were experiencing doubt. Others who should be there to encourage you sometimes won't encourage you. Sometimes people see that you are facing giants, and instead of encouraging you, I don't know if that ever happened to you, but it has happened to me a couple of times, where people, instead of coming and saying, you know what, let me encourage you, sometimes people come with negative comments. You're facing a problem. You're facing a tough situation. You are facing your giants. And sometimes, instead of people coming with a positive answer, with a word from the Lord, they come to you and they tell you something negative that it just takes the air off you. Watch what happened here in verse 26. David noticed what was going on. He just went to drop a food. He was the Uber Eats. He went to drop a food for his brothers. That's all he did. He went to drop a food for his brothers, and when he dropped a food, he heard what was going on, and then he heard Goliath screaming, shouting against the people of Israel. And so David asked the soldiers standing nearby, what will a man get for killing this Philistine and ending his defiance of Israel? What would a man get? And this man, in verse 27, it says that these men gave David the same reply. They said, yes, that is the reward for killing him. What was the reward? The reward, it was in verse 25. The reward, it says, that the king has offered. Notice what the king had offered, and none of these guys wanted to do it. A huge reward to anyone who kills him. He will give that man one of his daughters for a wife. And the man's entire family will be exempt from paying taxes. California, let's move over there, right? Man, I wish we can get out of these taxes sometimes. The giant was affecting other people. It wasn't just affecting that one person. It was affecting different people. And so David's older brother, this is what David's older brother did. Instead of encouraging them, instead of encouraging him, and the rest of the army, this is what he did. Verse 28. It says, when David's older brother, Eliab, heard David talking to the men, David wanted to find out what's going on. What can we do? What can I do? He said that he was angry with David. And he told David, what are you doing? What are you doing around here anyway? It's like, you're worthless, David. You're just a little kid. And I don't know if anybody has ever tell you you're worthless. You know, when you trust in God, we can do amazing things in the name of God. People might think, you don't do this well, you don't do that well. Well, let them think whatever they want. God will give you the results when you learn to trust in God. And so he's telling his brother, you know, he's giving negative input to his brother. And he says, what are you doing here anyway? He demanded of David an answer, right? And it says, what about them chips? What about the few chips that you are supposed to be taking care of? You're supposed to be a shepherd, David. I know about your pride and deceit. You just want to see the battle. Negative. Instead of supporting David. So, you know, when people come negative to you and you're facing issues, you're facing different situations, it's easy to doubt, am I in the right place? Am I supposed to be doing this? Am I supposed to win and be victorious against this giant that I'm facing? Because my big brother is telling me I'm good for nothing. My big brother is telling me I should be attending the flock. Never listen to negative comments. When you are facing tough situations, understand God wants you to trust in Him. That statement can easily create doubt in anybody's head. So this is what we experience. Three things. When we are facing giants, we experience fear, exhaustion, we experience doubt. And know this, the giant will keep on coming back to challenge you. Yeah, it will keep on coming back to challenge you until you face the giant. If you don't face the giant, it will paralyze you. It will put fear in you. It will make you exhausted. And it will make you doubt God's will, God's purpose for your life. The beautiful thing about this story is that God had a little young man out there. These young men wouldn't give up. His name was David. And David believed, the bigger they are, the harder. Come on, finish it with me. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. So, it's amazing. David said, you know what? We'll talk. I'm looking forward for next week when David gives an answer to this guy. Because David does an amazing thing here. And you know what? He was huge, and David said, I don't care how huge he is. He's going to fall harder. And he doesn't just... Goliath won't just fall, but he's also going to cut his head. And he's going to show it to the people. This is what you do. You can be victorious when you trust in God. When you trust in God. And David said in verse 26, who is this pagan Philistine anyway? Who is this pagan Philistine anyway? That he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God. Do you know what David was really saying there? In other words, David was saying, we belong to God. Do you belong to God? Because if you belong to God, you shouldn't be afraid. You should trust in God in any situation you are going through. But go and face the giant. You know, David was saying, we belong to God. He doesn't. What are we afraid of? And so next week we will learn from this young boy, David, How did he answer to Goliath? So we're going to answer the second question next week. How do we defeat the giant in our lives? How do we deal with this? But for now, I just want to encourage you that, remember, if you belong to God, why be afraid? Why be afraid? Seriously, why be afraid? Ask yourself that question. If I belong to God, am I not supposed to be trusting in Him for my future? For my present? Shouldn't I be trusting in Him that He already forgave my past? Now, if you don't belong to God, you should be afraid. But there is a way to fix that. There is a way to fix that. You can give your life to Jesus. And when you give your life to Christ, He's not promising you things are going to get better. Or easier. I should say easier. But things are going to get better because He's going to be with you. And every time you face a giant, every time you face a situation that is tough, Jesus promised He will be with us until the end of the age. So we can have that certainty in our hearts. No matter what problem we're going through, He is with us when you give your life to Christ. But if you don't belong to Christ, then we should be afraid because those giants are going to come anyways. And so this morning, I just want to encourage you. If you have never given your life to Christ and you are facing those tough situations, there is a solution. Give yourself to Jesus. He gave Himself for you. So you can have the strength to defeat these giants in your life. Our Father in heaven, we thank You so much, Lord. Thank You so much, Jesus, for the strength, for the love, for Your mercy in our lives. It is so amazing, Lord, to know that we belong to You. So with our eyes closed, I just want to say this morning, if there is anyone here in this room that is dealing with fear, exhaustion, doubts from all those situations and giants that you're fighting with, if you have never given your life to Christ, He has promised He's not going to get you out of those problems, but He will be with you through those problems. This is the moment when you can just tell Him, Jesus, forgive my sins. I want to belong to You. Because the battle belongs to You, and You will take me through this. And You will be with me every step of the way. Forgive my sins. I give my life to You. I want to walk with You from now on. Make me a new creation. In Your name I pray. Amen. Jesus, we want to thank You this morning. And we want to pray also, Lord, for the believers. If there is anybody in our midst who are dealing with different things, we just pray, Lord, that You will give us the strength. We just pray, Lord, that You will bring us back next week so that way we can understand how to defeat these giants that we're dealing with every day. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Amen.